The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 to 20. It is on the page 323 in the New Testament. Allow me to read. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credit to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Apostle Paul had a beautiful relationship with the Church of Philippi. To Apostle Paul, people of Philippian Church were whom he missed dearly. He was delighted to think of and wanted to boast about in the heaven. Philippi Church also participated in Paul's mission work by sending him offerings twice when he was doing mission work in Thessalonica, and once when he was imprisoned in Roman cell. However, such beautiful relationship was not formed as a result of blood relation or personal connection. Paul was an Orthodox Jew. To Jewish people, people of Philippian church were Gentiles. Uniting Jewish people and Gentiles was as difficult as mixing water and oil. Jewish people considered Gentiles as dogs or fuel for the hell, not equal people. Also, Gentiles considered Jewish people as barbarians, ignorant of philosophies. It was Jesus Christ and his message which united them. In the gospel, no distinction was made between Jewish people and Gentiles, or whether someone was in Rome or Philippi. They became brothers and sisters as they lived lives of waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where their citizenships came from, without thinking about earthly matters. Gospel does not distinguish you and I, but by confirming that we are united and heals the conflicts and restores the broken trust. Love and trust towards Apostle Paul made the Church of Philippi to send him offerings. However, Paul states that offerings to him are good for them, not to himself. I will read verse 17. Nor that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. It is normal for someone's credit account to decrease when presents or donations are made. However, Paul stated that he wants their credit to increase. It is because God remembers this and rewards them. During the last semester's district Bible study, we learned about sheep and goat parable in Matthew chapter 25. In the last days, all the nations will be gathered before our Lord the King, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. On the other hand, to those on his left, he will say, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And for I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. To such decision of the king, the response from people in the right or left was the same. Their response was, when? It meant, when did we do that, or when we did not do that? The answer of the king was also the same. It was for one of the least. It meant they did not, or they did, for the least one. People in both groups would have had lived a normal life. As they were born and growing up, they would have studied, worked, formed a family, and raised children. Among them, some would have earned a lot, highly educated, or held a high position. However, the king did not judge them based on those qualities. However they had lived, people on the right took care of the one of the least, while the people on the left did not. People on the right did those for others. But then these were all accumulated into their account. Saved Christians are those who know that what they did for others in this life will be reaped in the last day. Apostle Paul said those he received from the church of Philippi through Epaphroditus will be credited to their bank account in heaven. And also they were presents not for him, but fragrant offerings to God, which pleases him. Between the church and my home, there are many barbecue restaurants. When I pass them during supper time, the street is filled with the smell of barbecue. Sometimes I just want to walk in and have them, as the smell of barbecue makes me happy. Paul said that so does offerings of the Church of Philippi to God. Also, Paul said as follows with hope and firm belief about what God will do for the Church of Philippi. Verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God supplies every need of ours. We live lives allowed to us and fill our need. But then, why do we make confession that God supplies every need of ours while it is us who live our lives and fill our need. Let alone Christians, even non-believers. Those who can honestly reflect on their lives cannot say that they alone had supplied every need of theirs, no matter how hard they had tried. After descendants of Israel left Egypt and were passing through deserts, they said they had no water to drink, no food to eat, and made endless complaints to God for 40 years. However, Moses testified how God guided them in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 30 to 33 as follows. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in a cloud by day, to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. Although children of Israel made endless complaints that God did not guide them, God carried them. And while they were thinking about what to eat and where to sleep tomorrow, God went ahead to search out places for them to camp. Just as a mother tries to find the best place to put her child to sleep, God looked at many places ahead of Israel, thinking, this is not right place as it has no water. Here wild animals will come out, and there it will be uncomfortable because it is too rocky, and searched for the proper place for them. Didn't God work in the same way in our lives? Not that he only led Israel people in such a way. The reason that we can be seated in this place of worship is because God protected us from many temptations of Satan. God carried us when we were weak and needy. When we did not know where to go in the darkest times of our lives, God showed us the pillar of fire through the Word of God. And when we did not know what to do before small and big matters, God showed us the pillar of cloud by telling us when to proceed and stop through the Word of God. Through such ways, God supplies our need. Apostle Paul said that when God supplies our need, he does so according to his riches in glory. I spoke about glory long time ago. In Christian life, we often say glory to God. Most Christians say glory to God when they feel that their works were well completed through the interference of God. Glory means revelation of essence of God, God being God. In Mona Lisa painting, there is Glory of Leonardo da Vinci, and in Symphony No. 5, Fate, and Symphony No. 3, Eroica, there is Glory of Beethoven. In the gold medalist performance of female figure skating of 2010 Vancouver Olympic, there is Glory of Yuna Kim. Through their works, people acclaim. What a composer or an athlete he or she is to make such a masterpiece. Of course, the work itself is in best quality. So when we become the glory of God, it means that through our personalities and way of living, people respond, what kind of God is the God you believe that he formed you in the way you are? So that by revealing the omnipotent of God, his grace, and God being God through our lives, we can glorify God. Also, God supplies our need according to his riches. Many Christians thank God as Stingy Scrooge appearing in Christmas Carol written by Charles Dickens. So they think if they pray hard enough, God will give them something from his big bag to send them away. If you really think God like that, you are disappointing God. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 testifies as follows. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, having graciously give us all things? God gave his own son for us. If some guru, some person comes to you and says, save me by killing your own child, will you do that? How much money will be enough to exchange your child with? Or if a criminal who committed heinous crime wants kidney of your child to save the criminal's life, are you willing to do so? God had his only son die on a cross to give us eternal life. Why would he be not willing to give? God giving up his son is solid evidence that he is not frugal or stingy to us. Then why we cannot enjoy his riches, although God supplies all our need according to his riches? It is because we have not sought, or because we try to use his riches for our desires if we had sought for his riches. If your middle school son asked you, Dad, I want your car key, I want to drive highways as fast as I can, will you give the keys to your son? No keys for such son, but he may need be disciplined with the car key shaped sticks. Also, if your daughter in high school asked, Mom, give me 10 million won, then I will know whether you truly loves me. Will you give the money to her? You cannot give the money to her. If you do so, she would leave and not return in a couple years. I will recite verse 19 again. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God said he will supply every need of ours according to his riches in glory, and this takes place in Christ Jesus. Outside of Jesus Christ, we cannot experience our need being supplied by God according to his riches. No matter how much riches I enjoy, if I am not in Jesus Christ, such riches are not from God. In Poryang, Chungcheongnam-do, there is a Catholic holy place called Garmemot. In 1866, during the Pyongyang Catholic suppression, the fifth chosen bishop, Antoine Davieu, bishop, and five others were beheaded there. Davieu, bishop's life prison pole, is inscribed in the entrance of the Garmemot Memorial Center. Ki Ajeshu Atu, the one who has Jesus has everything. Because Jesus Christ created the universe, if one has him, it is same as having everything. More precisely, the one possessed by Jesus Christ is the one who has everything. Why did he say that he will supply all our need according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ? It is because he is my God. My God is not God that I heard from others. It is not God who only appears in books. Of course, he is not an absolute being in an abstract form. My God is God I experienced, who met me personally and who saved me from dungeon and lifted me up to the eternity. I saw the last episode of a drama called Classroom of Queen, which finished recently. It was very moving when 24 students in classroom number 3 of grade 6 confessed how they have changed throughout the year to teacher Yeojin Ma, who was called as a witch by her students. Among those, a confession of a student named Donggu was very moving. Donggu said, "Teacher, thank you for finding my mom. My mom also says thank you. Teacher, if you need me anytime, call me. I will always be there if you call me. You are my teacher." Other students would have had similar feelings, but for Donggu, the witch teacher is the one who made his mom to return to home. So he confesses that he will do everything she wants and asks him to do. Throughout his life, when Donggu thinks about my teacher, he will always remember the witch teacher. Although she may be a witch to others, to him, she will always be remembered as an angel. After David became king, he sang as follows, looking back his past, Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Before being a king, David had to flee from King Saul, his father-in-law, for a long period of time, and many times fought at a war that he almost lost his life. During those times, to him, God was not an abstract or theoretical being, but a concrete, living God. David confessed that to him, God was a rock which firmly supported his shaking life, fortress that protected him from enemies' attack, deliverer who saved him when his life was in a dark dungeon, shield when his life was at risk. His power, just as the horn of a beast, is the strongest part, and refuge so that enemies cannot attack. He confessed his love. He loves God because such God is his power. In these two verses, he uses the word I or my 11 times. To Paul, God is my God. When Paul was going to Damascus with a firm determination to persecute Christians, God sent to earth the Lord Jesus Christ, who met Paul. And he was the one who said, "Do not be afraid, for no one will oppose you and harm you," when Paul ministered in decadent Corinth and didn't know how to go about it, and caused him to teach the words of God for 1 year and 6 months. When Paul was arrested in Jerusalem and was being interrogated, it was so bad that the triarch was worried that Paul would be torn to pieces by the Jews. At that time, God said, "The following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" When Paul became a prisoner on the way to Rome by ship because of his appeal to the Roman emperor, a great wind of hurricane force called Northeaster blew, and the ship became a little tiny boat on the great Mediterranean Sea. It was no use rowing, and the sailors tried to steer the ship after throwing over the cargoes and equipment, but it was no use. They did not see sun and stars for many days and did not know how many days had passed. And they could not tell day from night. They had to give up even a thread of hope that they would survive. At that time, Paul told people, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Because God had said so, as the wind was bearing upon them." Because God was such a being to him, Apostle Paul says, "My God." He is full of confidence that this God will most certainly take care of Church of Philippi. And he testifies as to what kind of being this God is in verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. My God in verse 19 has become our God and Father. Paul is saying to the people of Church of Philippi that God who filled his needs abundantly in Jesus Christ for his life and his ministry, God who similarly fills the needs of their church, is the God of all of them and is requesting that they give him glory. When I meditated on verse 20, the last word, Amen, struck me loudly like a word spoken from a loudspeaker. Amen means it is the truth. I agree, and I am confident about it. When I write a sermon, I do not write Amen in the text. It is not something that I am to say, but something that you get to say. When you read the words, listen to preaching or listen to a praise of choir, and you feel that its content is the truth, you agree to it and you are sure about it, then you should be able to say Amen. If a preacher says something off the mark or asks, do you believe, without any meaning, to try to get you to say it, then you don't have to say Amen. We are not machines that repeat Amen. Amen is like putting your seal on what you believe. This verse 20 is the final conclusion of the book of Philippi. Verse 21 to 23 is a kind of postscript to the letter. The way Apostle Paul recorded everything and added Amen feels like a kind of emphasis that we should say Amen to all this. God of Paul, God of David, is my God. Close your eyes quietly and say to yourself, my God, my God. And also say to yourself, God our Father, God our Father. This God is the very being who filled our needs out of his plenty in Christ Jesus during our past lives. This God is the God who will fill our needs during the rest of our lives and the need of our children out of his abundance in the glory of Jesus Christ. Let us give glory to this God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, who is full of love and mercy, during the 40 years that the children of Israel were in the desert, you fought for them, and at times you held them in your bosom and carried them. You went before them to find a place to tent, and led them by the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. But the children of Israel were continuously full of complaints and dissatisfaction. But we cannot call them foolish, because they are like mirror reflection of ourselves, and we are like their copies. In our lives, there were hardly thanksgiving and obedience. But we are so grateful that you did not abandon us, but became our God and our Father in each moment of our lives. Because you are the same God who became the rock, the shield and fortress for David, and who spoke next to Apostle Paul today too, we take on courage and hope today. A child says that if his teacher feels to be his teacher, then he will run to her whatever the reason. My God is God who not only fills our needs out of his fullness, but God who sent his only Son to us in order to allow us, who were full of sin and faults, to live again. Allow all of us to serve him as God ought to be served. We pray sincerely that we will all live a life that gives glory to my God, our Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.